Welcome, and thank you for standing by. For the duration of today's call, all lines will be open. If you'd like to either mute or unmute your line, you can do so by pressing star 6. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And now I'd like to introduce your host for today's call, Ms. Stephanie Begott. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thanks, Evan. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 2011's RTC and Jazz Open Mic Series. Today's topic is licensing update and direction. My name is Stephanie Begott, and I work for IBM Rational as a technical support engineer for Rational Team Concert and Jazz. Today, our speaker is Kartik Kanakasubasan. Kartik has been with Rational for 12 years and more than 15 years of experience with Rational Tools. He has over 18 years of software development experience and has been working in various capacities throughout his career, ranging from development to technical sales, consulting services, and product management. He has published several white papers and has patents that have helped customers see value in adopting Rational solutions. He is currently the OSLC manager. There will be no web conference today, only a discussion. Kartik will be sharing his knowledge throughout the hour, but all lines are open, so please feel free to jump in and share your questions and ideas. And now I will introduce our speaker, Kartik. Go ahead.
Thank you, Stephanie. So I wanted to take a different route versus kind of showing you slides and everything else and kind of repeating what's already there on jazz.net. I wanted to kind of think about it and kind of talk about it and about licensing in jazz specifically in three phases. I was talking about the initial thinking behind jazz licensing, secondly, where it's at today or how it started to where it's at today, and looking at where we could potentially go in the future. I mean, there's certain things we're already doing today that is providing a lot of flexibility as such. So jazz licensing was kind of interesting because I was part of the team where we were discussing what are the licensing ramifications that our customers today experience. One of the things that we had discussed, and it was a very animated discussion at best, was why we wouldn't go down the route of FlexLM, and specifically the FlexLM bits that Rational had access to, and the cost of doing that. We also found that the user experience with FlexLM, albeit, it was entrenched in certain accounts that were used to ClearCase and Quest, it penalized customers even though they wanted to go and do the right thing. So we wanted to provide a capability that would actually allow people to do what they wanted to do and still provide a certain level of flexibility. And again, I'll be the first one to admit, were we perfect at it? No. But it was a step change that required us to kind of think a little bit differently or to encourage us to think a little differently in the context of licensing. Were there a few customers that were upset? Absolutely. Were there a few customers that, liked the actual direction we took? Yes, as well. So it was a mixed bag of response that we got. We, again, took some feedback, adopted certain practices and kind of got it out in stages. So when jazz licensing first started out, in the case of RTC 1.0, because that was the first product that acquired the licensing technology provided by jazz, it only had authorized licensing. And the reason why I make this separation between RTC and jazz specifically is because the core licensing technology that's provided by jazz is the same technology that's consumed not only by RTC, but also with RQM and RRC. So all the changes that you see happening at the foundation level, the jazz foundation level, these are changes that do impact products that consume it. So in this case, RTC, RQM, and RRC consume this capability. They also have the right to not to consume the capability if it's in the foundation as well. So there may be certain exceptions in that kind of situation. So when jazz licensing first started, it was primarily authorized user only. And, the first set of customers that adopted RTC came back and said, well, no, this is not going to work. We need something more flexible. And, saying, look, you guys had floating with FlexLM. Go ahead and provide floating in jazz licensing as well. So within 3 months after we GA'd Rational Team Concert 1.0, we came up with an update that actually introduced floating licensing capability inside jazz licensing as it were. The other difference that we found, one of the things that we got from feedback was, in order to be conforming to, whatever licensing SLA that you had with IBM and such, we needed to provide better reports. What we'd seen was that people who had initially used FlexLM in the past wrote up Perl scripts, Python scripts, or whatever the case may be, to make sure they can report effectively on the usage of their licenses. So one of the things that we also, as we introduced floating licenses in JAS technology, we also provided a set of basic set of graphs that provided customers the information, like yourselves, about how licenses are being used, specifically floating licenses. What is their peak usage? If people wanted to see an hour-by-hour breakdown, they could do that as well. In certain cases, if you want to see, you know, the command execution and the license that was used for that particular command, those are the kind of reports that we provided as part of the JAS team server. So after RTC 1.0, RTC 2.0 came out, and we kind of still persisted with the floating and authorized user model. With specific to RTC in this case, we had two main aspects. And the licensing situation in RTC is kind of, it mimics, it has certain subtleties of, you know, access control and certain elements of having the right to do certain actions. But what we found was that in the past we had a one-size-fits-all kind of model. So if you were a casual user of ClearCase or a casual user of ClearQuest, you ate the same license like you did as if a full-blown user of ClearQuest would. Now, in ClearQuest, for example, you had capabilities that would allow you to restrict access or, you know, have unlicensed, you know, or zero license or like unlicensed usage where in which you could submit requests without using a license as such, but it was very piecemeal at best. So we decided with saying, listen, you know, and when we look at a typical development community, does everyone require to have a full-blown license of a particular product? It didn't make sense. And one of the feedback that we got was saying, you know, we have, like in any typical software development supply chain, you know, we have people that are casual users, we have people that are active users, you know, that use it on a day-in and day-out basis, and then we have users that are active users, but they don't necessarily want to use every individual functionality because they only want to use one piece, if you will, of a particular set of functionality within the product. So we first started off saying, okay, let's start off with just two things. We know that there are contributors, and then we know that there are developers in the context of RTC. So JAS licensing, when it first came out, had two types of licenses, contributors and developers. And if you look at it from an RQM standpoint, the same kind of differentiation was there as well. You had two types of users for RQM. You had testers, and then you had, I believe, reviewers were the ones that you had for RQM. And the same thing again for RRC, where you had authors and also reviewers as well, with some kind of limited functionality in the prior license. All right. Again, because you had different stakeholders, and this was something that we were not able to go do in the version of Flexilum that we had in-house within Rational at that point in time. So that was one of the areas where JAS licensing kind of gave us a little bit more flexibility in that area. And this kind of remained constant between the first release of Team Concert, the first release of the JAS products, and then even the second release of products as well. So nothing watershed happened between the two various releases. What happened significantly was between 2X and 3X was now the capability, because in the 2X series and 1X series, you still had standalone machines. So RQM would be a standalone instance where in which it would have its own user management capability, its own licensing capability separate from that of what RTC would use, and that RTC would be separate from what RRC would use. So these were, again, three standalone pillars that were servicing their respective products. Now, with RTC 3.0, one of the things that we've gone ahead and done is we now provide the capability to have a JTS server that could be separate from the actual app. And what I mean by the app in this case is, for example, when we talk about Rational Team Concert, Rational Team Concert is a change in configuration management capability or an app on top of an existing JTS that does all the, exciting stuff like user management, like license management, and all the other back-end stuff that's supposed to go do. So we created that separation. But the other thing, what we wanted to do with RTC 3.0, or rather with JAS Foundation 3.0 specifically, was to allow people to use these three applications or capabilities with the same JTS server. So if in point in time, for example, and now what we're going to be releasing in mid this year with our CLM 2011 product set, you would now be able to have one common JTS with three apps, one app being the Change and Configuration Management app, or in this case, RTC, the second piece being the QM app, or the Quality Management app capability, and the Requirements Composer, or RM app, as we call it. And all these three products will share the same JTS instance. And also, what that also brings is a little bit of a flexibility on the topology of how you want to deploy. So in the past, again, where you had standalone machines with their own individual servers, licenses being hosted on each individual machine, you can now technically have a central JTS server that can not only manage users across these three apps, but also licenses for all these three apps. So you'd be able to go ahead and create, you know, import users from a common LDAP server and say, user Joe needs access to RQM, RQM's tester license, but from an RTC perspective, they only need at a minimum a contributor license. And same thing, but since they're not going to be participating effectively in the RM piece, they don't necessarily need to consume a license in the RM space in this context. So again, allowing that level of flexibility. The other thing that will also happen in this case is, in especially with the CLM 3.0 scenarios, you would be able to use one license to be able to create, like for example, if you're creating a test case from a test requirement from a particular defect that arose from a build, you'd be able to use that same license to at least be able to create a particular test case or a requirement in the other subsequent tools as well, which is a big change from the way things were in the past. Because in the past, if you were using RTC, RQM, and RRC, you still had to use up one license of each to be able to do that kind of integrated capability. So we're now providing a little bit more flexibility in that context. Yeah. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on the RTC 3X because that's something that's available today. So as I mentioned earlier, we had the contributor license and the developer license. So one of the things that we ended up providing here was the fact that we said, okay, there are still a little bit layers of differentiation even in the development world as well, because you have stakeholders, you have contributors, and then you have developers. And then developers, we realized there were three flavors of it, or the two specifically. One being for enterprise developers, which allows developers that do RPG COBOL development, you get those enterprise extensions and such in your RTC deployment in this case. The other license pack that we introduced, and it is a license pack specifically, it's an authorized user license pack called RTC Developer Work Groups, which is a pack of 50 authorized RTC developer licenses that you just get for a small group of team members. But for all intents and purposes, the change in roles have gone from RTC 2X and 1X, which were contributor and developer, to now mainly three in RTC 3X, which now includes stakeholder, contributor, and developer. The difference, basically, between stakeholder and contributor is the fact that from a stakeholder standpoint, you can, you can view project status, be able to go ahead and create work items, look at reports and do things like that. But what you can't do are things like planning. So, if you're creating new agile plans and things like that, for that you would actually need to have the contributor license. The other piece is when you're using RTC specifically in that in a context of with a third party SCM. So, for example, you realize you have a subversion or a Git installation in-house, but you still want to use the RTC capability, you can just have an RTC contributor license and get all the other key functionalities of RTC, but not necessarily use the SCM piece. So just by merely using contributor, you're now able to coexist with your third-party SCM. All right? With the developer license, you get obviously additional capabilities than what you get from contributor, and you're able to also leverage the advantage of the capability of distributed SCM that has now been introduced in RTC3L. So I'm not going to delve into a lot of that. Now, from a licensing standpoint, one thing to note here, too, is that for developer for work groups specifically, if you have authorized licenses for developer for work groups, for that particular user pack, you do not get the distributed SCM capability. Right? So if you're using developer or developer for enterprise platform licenses for specific for Team Concert, that is available. That actually has distributed SCM support. The developer work group set of licenses do not actually have distributed SCM access. The other thing that we did, which was significant from a licensing standpoint between what we're introducing in Jazz Foundation 3.0, now available through RTC 3X, is in the past, you had server licenses. So we realized, again, you know, based on customer feedback, that server licenses were kind of limiting people to try different kinds of deployment topologies. Case in point, an example, we had a situation with a customer where they wanted to go ahead and instantiate a pre-production environment before having a production environment. Now, in that kind of situation, it doesn't make sense to actually have two separate license servers where the pre-production environment is only going to be used not on a regular basis as the production stuff, but only when you're about to provision something new. And, you know, we started realizing that it didn't serve the right kind of purpose. So we basically decided that in the context of RTC 3.0, or for that matter, Jazz Foundation, we should allow people to be able to deploy as many servers as they would like, because the actual utility of usage comes in when people start using the various capabilities. So in this case, if you're using RTC, fine, you should be able to use RTC. If you want to use RTC spread across two servers, absolutely, if you have the flexibility to do so. All right. So that was one area that we improved upon from a licensing standpoint. The other benefit that we have are, again, the various topologies around the licensing elements here. So, for example, let's just keep a discussion on RTC for the time being from a topology perspective. Let's say we have one JTS server, and we have three RTC capabilities, or apps, as I call it, installed on separate machines. This was something that was not conceivable to be done in RTC 2X. This is now possible in RTC 3X, and will be possible with CLM 2011 with the other apps as well. So you could actually have one JTS and have three RTC instances running on three different servers serving three different groups. But these three RTC instances would be talking to a common JTS server and using the same license pool.
Kartik, we just had a question on the web conference Q&A group. Joyce Abbott, if you're on the phone, did you want to ask Kartik your question?
Sure.
Joyce?
Oh, sorry, I had it on mute. We have a situation where we have different parties paying for license pools.
Mm-hmm.
In Jazz, how is that handled for floating licenses?
So when you say different parties paying for different license pools, could you be a little more clear on that a little
in
bit?
In the common licensing, we're able to put up two different license servers and just direct the users to the servers they belong through
right.
the common licensing tool.
Mm-hmm.
In Jazz, that's not exactly apparent. Could you explain how we would do the same type of thing?
So in Jazz, what you could do, so in this case, for example, if you want to allocate a pool of users to a particular set of licenses, you could technically have different JTS servers. In this case, now those JTS servers, what I'm talking about, need not be two physical boxes. If you could essentially have, one physical box with two different LPARs serving up, running up JTS servers for those various groups, and then have the RTC apps point to those different JTSs that are serving up licenses for the various groups. Now, I guess my next question to you would be, are these two different groups sharing, components or applications back and forth with each other?
Yes, that's the hard part, is they're sharing the same applications.
Okay, and then you have these different groups working off of, do you plan to use floating, or are you using authorized licensing in this case?
There's no problem with the authorized licensing. Well, it's the floating licenses that we're trying to figure out how we're going to deploy.
Right. Now, so from a floating license standpoint, there's a couple of advantages that you can have. Actually, that's a pretty good feedback that we've got there. So being able to create different pools. But one of the things that you could do from a floating license standpoint is that when you run reports, you can actually see users that are using up the different types of licenses. So, for example, you can when you assign someone a pool of license, for example, if you've bought actually, let me ask you this. How have you got it set up today with common licensing, as it were, in your environment today?
Today in common licensing, it's actually registry keys. And we're actually working with user GPOs and setting the registry keys for the users as they log on.
Mm-hmm.
It's working pretty well, but with the Jazz licensing, we don't really have the same flexibility.
Okay, so basically what you have is you have different instances of FlexLM servers running everywhere, and you just point the respective clients to point to the relevant FlexLM server in this case.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. All right. Yeah, that's one capability that we don't have today. But unlike as I mentioned earlier, unlike in FlexLM, where you can't necessarily restrict certain capability access, that's not available in FlexLM, which we do provide in Jazz licensing today. So there's definitely certain benefits that are there in FlexLM that, you know, we will gradually bring into Jazz licensing as well. But that's the key topology layout that you're talking about right now, that's something that I know is not even possible in RTC 3.0 for the time being.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So going just talking about the topology aspect of things, one of the things you also have to understand is that when you do have a common JTS server, you have a set of the license pool there is a common pool across all the RTC app servers that are connected to the same JTS. So what happens in this case is if user Joe on one app server is going to be assigned a license, that user Joe eats the same license when they're logged onto the other two RTC server app instances. Right? Now, the only time where user Joe might use different licenses is when the two JTSs are different. So imagine a situation where you have two separate JTS servers or Jazz Team servers, and you have two RTC app servers that are separate, and they connect to their respective JTSs. So they're now essentially two separate instances running in parallel. And user Joe now needs to access content off of both RTC instances. So because they're two separate JTSs now, user Joe will be using up two licenses in that scenario because they're, as I said, two separate JTS instances in that particular topology. Had the two RTC servers been using the same JTS, and in that situation, Joe would only be using a single license. Does that make sense? I mean, on folks in the web conference, if it makes sense, please raise your hand, or no, then I can always repeat what I'm saying. Stephanie, what's the result like? Does everyone have a clear idea what I'm saying?
Yeah, no one has posted any further questions.
Okay, perfect. So the licensing update capabilities in this case are pretty much the same as you've experienced in the past. You know, you go to the other difference that we've now added too is you go to the License Key Center and you can download your respective JAR files to go and upload onto the Jazz Team server. So in this case, you know, the same process is not different than what you were doing in the past. You essentially go to the License Key Center, type in your customer number, whatever, and then download the JAR file, and then go ahead and upload that onto your Jazz Team server instance. So again, it's again a signed JAR file that's available that will be done, and then you can once you type it in, you punch in the number of users that you're allocated to. Again, there's the same level of trust that we've had, so it's not like it generates a key only for 100 users. You know, if you've bought 100 licenses, you download the JAR file, type in 100, and it'll serve the licenses. And if you happen to type more than what you acquired, we are using standard log4j calls, so every information that you type in is logged. So you'll be able to see that information in whatever shape or form in that context. Now, the other thing you can also have is, as I mentioned earlier, you could have a situation, and this is a very unique kind of situation. You could have a situation where you have two separate JTSs. And I want to make sure we understand it, because this is because of the flexibility around the topology layout, you can actually have a situation where you have the license serving capability of JTS separated from the user management pieces. So imagine this situation now where we've got a JTS server that's only acting as a license server. It doesn't do any user management or nothing as such. It then is connected to two other JTS servers that are now doing user management for the other apps that are connected to it. If you want to get a visual representation of what I'm talking about, if you go to jazz.net library article 548 and look at figure 10, that's the kind of topology that I'm actually kind of alluding to. Here we have a situation where in which, and I'll repeat the article number again, on jazz.net the article is 548. It's the licensing article that I wrote, and the figure number that I'm referring to is figure 10. So just to kind of give you a visualization of exactly the kind of topology that I'm talking about, that's essentially what we're looking at. So here we have a situation where in which the central server, in this case, is only merely, the JTS is merely acting as a license server in this case. And then we have two JTS servers underneath it, in that situation, where in which they do the user management piece, and then they have different instances of RTC apps, if you will. Now, these apps, they could be separate servers, or they could be on the same server as a JTS, depending on how your deployment topology is. It's not required that they be on separate servers. This is just to show the flexibility that you have. Now, in this situation, what happens? All right, do we still use up a single license, or do we use up two additional licenses? The license pool is the same, but they're two unique JTSs. So one thing you have to understand here is what happens in this situation is you're actually going to be using up two licenses. The reason being is there's a layer of JTS between the license server and the actual applications. And that layer of JTS, there's essentially two separate instances of user management that are going on. So user Joe on one end could also be, you know, Joe W on the other one. And in this kind of situation, if Joe is using capability, working an app on both RTC1 and RTC2 servers, in that particular situation, we would probably Joe will actually eat up two licenses because there are essentially two different user management instances on JTSs that are going on here. So again, just to be very clear, the topology that I'm referring to from a visual standpoint, it's Article 548. On the jazz.net library, and it's figure number 10. So, Stephanie, if you don't mind, I'll just give you the URL. If you could just stick it onto the web conference chat.
Yeah, Kartik, I already sent it.
Perfect. Thank you. So it's figure number 10 that I'm alluding to from a topology standpoint. And this is one, the reason why I wanted to spend a little time talking about this is because this is one of the tricky topologies that are out there. So, in this situation, please understand, you will be using two licenses, for the same user. Why? Because that middle layer of the JTS that we're talking about actually has two separate user management instances. Any questions on this topology? All right. So one of the other things that we've also now added in the Foundation server is this capability of token licensing. So what exactly is token licensing? So let's say from an RTC standpoint, it may add value, but it actually really resonates a lot when you have multiple JAS products. So for example, the token licensing piece that you have, so when you talk about tokens specifically, let's say you purchased 100 tokens. Now, out of those 100 tokens, you have a set number of tokens that for a particular capability. So, for example, if you're using RTC Developer, an RTC Developer license will consume 10 tokens, which means out of those 100 tokens that you have, you now essentially have 10 RTC developer licenses. And RTC contributor licenses only use up 5 tokens. So you could have a situation where in which you could be using 5 RTC developer licenses and 10 RTC contributor licenses. And we can make this even more interesting saying, you know, as your usage changes, you know, you now bring in RQM, so out of those pool of 100 tokens that you have, every RQM license, again, uses up 5 tokens as well. So you can now be in a situation where in which you could be using 2 out of the 100 token pool, you could be using, let's say, 3 RTC developer licenses, 4 RTC contributor licenses, and then maybe another 8 or 6 RQM licenses. So you can actually now go ahead and allocate, using the same pool of tokens, you can allocate how each, you know, depending on how the changes in usage happens, you can allocate the right kind of users using the right kind of licenses for the various types of products. And again, allows a little bit more flexibility in that context of usage. Any questions on tokens of what I've said so far before I get into how the token topology looks like? All right. So moving on. So the way we've gone ahead and done token licensing in the context of Jazz in this case is we now kind of delegate the token management piece to a FlexLM server. So what happens in this case is you can now configure your JTS and saying, JTS, yes, it's a floating server, but it is for tokens, it's going to redirect to a FlexLM server where the tokens are going to be uploaded. So you allocate your relevant pools in that context, and then you point it, have the JTS point to a FlexLM server, which is serving up these tokens, if you will, for the various users that want to be able to go use it. So you now have this capability to not only support vanilla floating license environments, but now you can actually do these token licensing capabilities with the help of the FlexLM server, as it were. So in this case, from a token licensing standpoint, it is actually delegating the token management piece, if you will, to the FlexLM server, rather than actually having the Jazz Team server manage that piece, as it were. All right? So the article that you may want to look at to get a good idea of how the token topology works out is actually Article 559 on jazz.net. And that provides a brief outline of how to go about installing token licensing. Now, the benefit of token licensing is that as part of JTS 3.0, which came out with RTC 3.0, you can use that same infrastructure to support RQM 2X and RRC 2X token licensing as well. So you can redirect your existing RRC and RQM instances to a JTS 3.0 instance that is now serving up token licenses. Any questions on token licensing so far? And again, I'll repeat the article. The article number is 559 on jazz.net in the library, and that talks about token licensing installations. Now, the other key thing that we, you know, usually talk about is saying, well, what kind of ratios are we talking about from a usage standpoint? And the reason why that becomes very pertinent is specifically when it comes to floating licenses. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, from an RTC standpoint, because the manifestation of the true value, if you will, of the way what we're trying to do with Foundation comes to the various products that are leveraging Jazz Foundation. One of the key things there, or the key elements there, are, for example, for stakeholders, the ratios that we talk about, we're talking about a ratio of 4-1. All right? So in this case, if you have 4 users, you know, you're better off just getting 1 stakeholder license depending on the kind of usage you want to go have. Same thing, a topology for contributor would be 3-1. Okay? From a developer standpoint, whether it be developer or developer of enterprise, specifically from a floating perspective, it comes out to around 1.75 to 1. Right? And that's just primarily because, you know, when you're working in non-overlapping time zones, that's where you probably see, you know, we even in our own internal usage have seen license ratios going from 1.75 to probably like to 1 to probably 2 to 1, as long as the time zones are not overlapping. If you're in the same time zone for developers, you're probably looking at it looking at a 1 to 1 ratio. All right. The other thing that we've added in the licensing capabilities for Jazz is this term known as perpetual and fixed term. Now, in the past, all the licenses that you've gotten or acquired have been perpetual. One of the things that we're now doing is something called fixed terms, where in which, for example, you realize, and this is also flexible even for tokens for that matter, you can actually say, you know, we want to use the license for a particular set of months or years, after which, you know, you want to go back and renegotiate with IBM for usage or whatever the case is. But that's essentially the kind of capabilities that we've now gone ahead and introduced in Jazz Foundation 3.0 is to allow for both perpetual and fixed-term licensing. So perpetual obviously means once you buy it, you know, as long as you continue to renew it, it's available to you for your consumption, such and such. And a fixed term essentially is it times out after a particular period. And that's based on the sales agreement that you have with IBM and all such and such. But that's essentially what you have available in the context of licensing that's available for Jazz Foundation 3.0. So we're 40 minutes into the call. Any questions about licensing so far? All right. Any questions about RTC licensing specifically, you know, with regard to capabilities or products? Okay. So I'll delve just a little bit more about the server license not being available here in this case. The fact is, the reason why we took it out, as I mentioned earlier too, is to provide flexibility in topology. So some of the topology diagrams that you see on the article on Jazz.net article 548, basically to allow us to make things more flexible in this context, the Jazz licensing, the reason why we took the server licensing out was to first off help customers to be able to be creative in their topology, if you will, of how they want to lay out and consume their Jazz products, but also to have some flexibility in topology. So, for example, if you want to put in a low-end machine to only serve up licenses, you can now do that. This wasn't the case earlier because everything had to be put on one big mammoth server that was not only just serving licenses but also supporting your RTC development and such and such environment. So you can now separate critical elements and non-critical elements because now we've taken out this whole server licensing part. And that was primarily one of the key drivers, along with, you know, the fact that you can be creative with your topology layout, was one of the key drivers of why we got rid of the server licensing in the first place. And again, one of the things I would also recommend is just like Joyce mentioned on the call about certain improvements that we can go ahead and do with regards to licensing by allocating pools and such, what I would earnestly recommend a lot of you to do is please file those as requirements or enhancements on Jazz.net against the Jazz Foundation project on Jazz.net. Because anything licensing is actually done at the foundation level for the Jazz products. It doesn't necessarily impact just one product. It impacts several sets of products. But that's something that I would highly recommend, and I'd request folks that are participating in this open mic session to please go ahead. If there are improvements that you see that need to be done in the licensing part, please go ahead and create that requirement or work item on Jazz.net so that we can look at addressing that in the next planning cycle for the next deliverable of some of the Jazz products. So we're 45 minutes into the call. So I'm pretty much done with my script here on what on to talk about here. Again, any questions in general? All right. So I'm just going to do a wrap up and kind of tell you what we just spoke about. I mean, we covered a lot of ground in the last 45 minutes or so, and you know, we talked about what is jazz licensing. One, also alluded to the fact of how the evolution of jazz licensing kind of came to be. We started off with authorized user licensing, looked at floating licenses, looked at different types of topologies on how we can allocate license or use licenses across some of the various jazz products. We talked a little bit about tokens, and also around how we can what kind of flexibility tokens provide. We also kind of touched upon the setup, if you will, around tokens, and also talked about some of the new licensing capabilities that have now been introduced as part of the flexibilities because of this infrastructure on licensing in products like Rational Team Content 3.0. We'll start seeing additional licensing capabilities based on the new improvements in RQM and RRC, and one of the big ones obviously being the fact that when you integrate the three products, in the past, if you were to create a very simple use case where, you know, a build failed and you wanted to create a test case and a requirement, you would have to use, an RTC license and an RQM license. You now don't have to do that. You can, you by default actually get the capability to use a particular function of RTC and create a test case or work item without actually consuming an RQM and RRC license in this context. So again, those are some of the improvements that we've gone ahead and done, which will be manifesting throughout the course of 2011, actually one, the time horizon being just around the corner. And again, any improvements that you have or you can suggest, please let us know through jazz.net. So with that, I will hand it back to Stephanie.
Okay, thanks, Kartik. Before we conclude the session, I just want everyone to stay on the line as we're just going to ask you a quick feedback question. Evan, can you do the polling now, please?
Yes, ma'am. Today's question is, was this session useful? Please press *1 for yes. Please press *2 for no. Please press *3 for somewhat useful. Once again, was today's session useful? *1 for yes. *2 for no. *3 for somewhat useful. And voting is complete at this time.
Okay. Does anyone else have any additional questions for Kartik before we conclude the session? All right. If you have any additional feedback or questions, feel free to post on the Jazz.net forum. This concludes the session for today. I would like to thank Kartik for joining us, as well as all of you for participating. Join us next week when we discuss the ClearQuest Synchronizer with guest speaker Lorelei Ngu. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.